I'm excited about this morning because our Easter Sunday morning, we just preached our socks off. I had to get another pair. And then run around barefooted. And then we want to look at this season that before us is the work of the Holy Spirit. Right now, we have had Palm Sunday, Good Friday, and then Easter Sunday morning. And there's this season that comes up to Pentecost Sunday where the Lord pours out His Spirit. So Jesus spent 40 days communicating with His disciples. And then there were the 10 days that they tarried in the upper room in Jerusalem before the Spirit of God came down. And this is really important. So I want to talk about that a little bit. Did you know that God's love is His power and His power is His love? Would you say that God's love is His power, and His power is His love? And so I want you to begin to lock in on that. Anyway, I'm going to read from Acts chapter 1, 1 through 11. Verse 1. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day that He was taken up after He had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom He had chosen. He presented Himself alive to them after His suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. Now get in your mind now, 40 days after He's passed away and then risen again, given Himself on the cross and then risen again. This is over a month. Jesus is popping in and out of people's lives. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13 that there were 500 people that He saw at one time. 500. 500 people saw Him in His resurrected body. And He did not see then He's in His new body. It was flesh and bone, not flesh and blood. It was a new capacity that He had. I don't know where He did, if He slept somewhere, if He went to heaven, about, I have no idea. But He was communicating with them about the kingdom of God on and off over these days. It says during this 40-day period, He was communicating. I wonder what the teachings were. And I started thinking about that, and I thought some of it might have been some of the last days things about the new heavens and new earth, because where did Peter get all that? You know, when he wrote 1st and 2nd Peter, and where did they get all that stuff? So that might have been some of the thoughts that they were held in their hearts from Him. But then He gets to this point here. He says, and while staying with them, He ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which He said, you've heard from Me, John, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. If I say baptized in the Holy Spirit. Okay, this is important. Then it says Jesus, when they come together, some versions say when they ate together, they all said, Lord, will You at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has fixed by His own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be My witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And when He had said these things, they were looking on Him, and He was lifted up, and a cloud took Him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as He went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw Him go into heaven. Jesus is going to come back. By the way, recently I was reading a Gallup poll. Anybody know what the Gallup polls are? And they had asked 1,500 Americans about church and attending church. The top two things, the reasons they attended church. Number one, sermons or talks that teach more about Scripture. The number one reason why people attend church is they want to know what the Bible says. Isn't that good? Are you one of those people? Number two, sermons or lectures that help you connect. It says connect religion with your life. In other words, you want to see how it applies to you. And when I saw that, I thought, okay, I'm committed. I'm committed to present biblical content with authenticity, because basically, you know, you believe the stuff you live. Are you right? Are you with me there? And so I want us to look into how this applies, and I want to do it with a sense of quality and laying hold of our lives and get the quality out of it that the Lord has for us. So I want to tell you something. Would you repeat this? Jesus is a winner. Would you say that? Jesus is a winner. He's a winner. The resurrection of Jesus puts Him into a class unlike anybody else. That's right. And so when He rose from the dead, He conquered death. Everybody just say that with me. Conquered death. Okay. Death is defeated. It's swallowed up in the victory of Jesus Christ. And since he's the only person to ever win this battle, when you put your faith in him, because he's risen, you'll be risen.
Yes.
Because you put your faith in him, because he has risen from the dead, you will rise from the dead. And that's the here's the essence of the gospel. There's this blood that is shed on the cross, and it's the redemptive price for mankind. Jesus' blood is shed on the cross. That's through the crucifixion. Then he rises from the dead, and he breaks the power of death. And this is amazing to me, that Jesus, you would think that that was everything necessary. And it is in one sense. But Jesus is with them for 40 days in his resurrected body, and he's telling them, you're not ready yet. That what I've done isn't the end, it's the beginning. That what I've done in the crucifixion and resurrection is a starting place. Don't go out and start preaching yet. There's something else you're going to need. Jesus, you would think he'd come up, look, I've risen from the dead now. Just go. Right? Go. I've done it. He goes, no, no, no. I got it started. I got it started. There's more. He said, what do you mean more? Well, I'm the second person in the Godhead. But the Lord, my Father, has a promise he's made. And I begin to share it. And the sharing of this promise is that there's going to be the Holy Spirit's going to come. And he's going to flow up out of you like rivers of living water. And he's going to teach you things that you don't know yet. He's going to guide you. He's going to reveal who I am more and more to you. And he's going to help you glorify me. And you don't have him yet. And he's going to give you a power. And the power is going to actually to be a witness of who I am. Because you guys have been scaredy cats. Even with my resurrection body, you're still, some of you are still doubting, right? So how many of you know you can get saved, but before you're empowered with the Holy Spirit, you're still like wondering? The Holy Spirit baptism, this is amazing to me, because the Holy Spirit baptism is about being baptized into the third person of the Godhead. And the Godhead is the location of the love of the universe. And it's where the love is outpoured. The Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is where the love comes from in the universe. And God says, Father, God says, I love you so much, and you've been disconnected from me since Adam, and I want my family back. And the way I'm going to get my family back is I'm going to baptize you in a third of the Godhead. And you're going to have the love reconnect and the fire of my passion rise in you. And we're going to love each other the way we did before.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. I just got the preach on there just for a second. I don't even have a clue where the notes are. But here you go. I do have an overhead. I have an overhead here. It's like Father God is saying this. He says, Jesus, you die for the sins and restore them to me. Holy Spirit, you fill them up with my love and power so that they'll know me.
Yeah.
It's about knowing. It's about knowing. It's about knowing. You restore them, Jesus. Holy Spirit, you teach them who I am. Isn't this good?
Amen.
And he said, now watch this, this next verse. Luke 15:20 says this. This is the story of the prodigal. And I want you to understand something about the Holy Spirit and the passion that God has for you to know his love. Because Luke wrote the story, the book of Luke, he wrote the Gospel of Luke, and Luke also wrote the book of Acts that we're looking at right now. And he uses this word. This is the most beautiful thing. Watch how Jesus describes the Father. He's describing the Father in heaven. The prodigal has gone, and he's come back. And he rose and came to his Father. Now this is the Father in heaven. This is the Father in heaven. This is his heart. But while he was still a long way off, his Father saw him, felt compassion, ran, embraced him, and kissed him. This is Father God. Father God sees you a long way off. He feels compassion. He runs. He embraces. He kisses. This idea of embracing is the Greek word epipipto. It's the outpouring of love. And that same word is used by Luke in the book of Acts when he says, I will pour out of my spirit.
Wow.
He says, Father God's going to come down through the Holy Spirit and hug you. This is who I am. I'm a good, good father. I'm going to heal you. I'm going to restore you. Through my spirit, I'm going to cause you to know the depth of my heart and my love. And this is what the word dunamis is all about. The word dunamis has to do with... this is the funniest thing. I tell you, this just drives me nuts. Because right after this, right after when he says, you're going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and receive the promise of the Father. And he says, then they look right at him and they say, Lord, are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel now? Went right over their heads, right? Right over their heads. Guess what? You and I are exactly the same. And he says, it's not for you to know the times and seasons that the Father has fixed. And he goes like this, but you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit, and the power will come upon you, and you'll be my witnesses. You take a step back from that, and this is what he's saying. This is how it goes. Father God, when are you going to solve that problem out there? Well, we're not going to do that right now. We're going to empower you to go through. We often pray for things to change rather than for us to change. We often pray for other people to change rather than for us to change. I'll go. You go ahead and say ouch. You can go ahead and say this. You're permitted to go, oh my. How many of you know that Jesus, this is the answer Jesus is giving. We're saying, what about that out there? And he says, well, what about that in there? Lord, if you'll just solve this. Right, now you're going to come back and overthrow the Romans and set up shop like King David? Is this the idea now? Because look, you're here in the resurrection power. And man, we can get all this. I mean, we don't even know what we're talking about. He says, yes, right, you don't. You don't have a clue. Because you haven't received the Holy Spirit yet. The Holy Spirit's going to come and he's going to baptize you. He's going to sink you into who I am. And you're going to begin to be revealed. It's going to be revealed inside of you who I am as God. Go ahead and tell your heart, pay attention. Hallelujah. Let's look at this word dunamis just for a moment. I think I put something up there. Dunamis. This is the word for power that Luke is using and Paul uses it. They all use it. This is the word dunamis. This, when it refers to the resurrection and this power of the Holy Spirit, it's talking about dunamis. Everybody say dynamite.
Dynamite.
That's where we get the word dynamite. It's a power from God. This is some of the definitions of it: strength, power, ability, inherent power, power residing in a thing by virtue of its nature, or which a person or thing exerts and puts forth. Power for performing miracles, moral power, excellence of soul. This is the nature of the word dunamis. The dunamis is that Jesus was raised from the dead, and that power is all of this. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwelling in you accomplishes all these things. That's the power. See, that's why it's so important to say his love is his power, and his power is his love. Let's go ahead. If you have your other... Can you turn in your Bible to Ephesians 3, starting with verse 14? I don't have this up here, but one verse later on we'll get to, but I just want to read this first. This is Paul now praying a prayer in the Scriptures, and I would like to invite you to really just settle in on this for a minute. This is one of the most important prayers in the New Testament, other than what Jesus taught to pray. Paul is saying this, verse 14, for this reason I bow my knees before the Father. Are you getting where I'm going here? From whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, that he may grant you to be strengthened with power, dunamis, through his spirit in your inner man. Got it? Now, here's where we need to reel most people's minds in, because there's a reason for it. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. It's all about Jesus. It's all about bearing witness to Jesus. It's all about who Jesus is. That you, being rooted and grounded in love, that's agape. By the way, agape means I give you what you need more than what you want. And then finally you realize, this is what I really want, is what I really need. That you're grounded in love may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth. And here's the whole reason for the power of God. It's this: to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Amen. That you know something by your spirit man and by the power of God. How many of you had encounters with the Lord that he's marked you and you know? You can go back to an encounter with him and the Spirit of God has written something in your heart concerning who he is. When he says that there's a new covenant and I'm going to write my law in their hearts, guess what that comes from? That comes from an encounter with his presence. There are some powerful, powerful times. I remember when I was first saved, I was at 17 years old, and this man came to our church, and I think 17, 17 and a half, 18, and he came to our church, and we prayed, and the Spirit of God came on us, and we started laughing. And we laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed, and it was not, we weren't giddy. It was the most amazing thing. It was the Spirit of God giving a joy that was unspeakable and full of glory. Amen. And we were experiencing the weight and presence and power of God's love inside of us. And it was hilarious. For some reason, it was hilarious. And we laughed and we laughed and we laughed. And there were we laughed and we cried a little bit. We laughed and we cried. The Lord was just doing something sovereignly in our hearts. I'll never forget that. There's other moments. You have moments where you might just be in here. I was talking to a young man one day who's in ministry in our town, and he happened to be at our church at the time, and he was on the front row, and during the message, I turned and said something to him. I don't know. It was a prophetic moment. It was just a little prophetic moment. Later on, we were talking. This is about, I don't know, 6 months, a year later or so, and we're all talking. We were talking about being encounters with God's love, and powerful encounters with God's love. And I had no idea he was going to say, it was that day you spoke to me on the front row. He had an encounter with God that changed him on the inside. It just changed him on the inside. And he knew the Lord loved him. It was amazing. I remember the other time this lady had come to our church for a while. And she had said over and over and over, if you love me, Lord, have the pastor say my name today. And I'm in the middle of the service. And I suddenly, the Holy Spirit's moving, and I look back at her, and I say her name. I say it a couple of times. And she's just burst into tears, and God's just doing this work in the Spirit. She says, if I matter, if you love me, you're going to have him say my name. And I started saying her name. I didn't know. Later on, I find out. She didn't come in and say, if you love me. So, you know, she didn't tell me in advance. The Holy Spirit just knew, and so I started saying her name. Next thing you know, God's changing. How many of you, come on? The Lord knows how to touch and mark and move and identify things inside of us. That it's important to be listening to this right now, because I feel like the Lord says, I want to cause you to put into remembrance the moments. Because they're like memorial moments. They're places, this is one in the notes, but this is for you guys. There's moments where the Lord says, I did something in you and I don't want you to walk away from that. That's why it was a memorial moment. Man, the Lord's calling us back. He's calling us back to the places where love manifested. Because he says, I want you to know the depth and the height, the length, the breadth. I want you to re-soak in and saturate your heart in the fullness of my love for you again. Don't let the devil steal that. Don't let him go. Don't get dried up inside, but be full of the depth of his love for you to comprehend with your spirit the fullness of God's love. The Lord's saying, come back to that moment. Dwell on that. I want to do it again. I feel like let's go outside and get the hose and let's just go ahead and soak everybody down. Right? The Lord says, I want to soak you. There are so many things that when you get dried out, you're so vulnerable. But the Lord says, when you're full, you're not as vulnerable. When you're full of my love for you, there's a confidence rises up. When you're full, the fullness, the pleretha, the plerema, the word there in the Greek, the plethora, that's where we get our little word. It's this fullness of the Holy Spirit. And when the fullness of the Holy Spirit comes, this is what he's saying. He's saying this. He says, when we say, Lord, what about that out there? He says, we're not going to deal with that out there. We're going to put this inside of you. You're going to have such love in you. You know that you can go through anything with me. And you'll come out better on the other side because of who I am in you. That's what I'm doing. That's what I did in Jesus. The Holy Spirit was with him, and he went through the crucifixion and the resurrection, and now the third part of the Godhead comes down and fills you to be able to do what he did. There's needs out there. We always want to say, oh, let me, you know, Lord, help all them out there. And the guy says, I am. I'm filling you up. You're the answer. I'm putting my spirit in you. You're the answer. Somebody's getting this today. Put up that verse out of that chapter. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we could ask or think, according to the power, dunamis, at work, energeo, at work. It's at work, energeo. It's the work in us. This is how it works, guys. We pray, I'm going to go over it again. We pray, Lord, change them. And the Lord says, I'm changing you. Lord, make everything turn around. Bring your kingdom into the government. I want you to endure no matter what. I want you to be full of my love for you. Be so confident in who you are that the... Man. Mm-mm-mm. If you will wrap your heart into this, there's a miracle dimension that'll operate through your life. Man, I've got a handful of people in here that have said that's those other people that do that. And the Lord's saying, that's not right. Wow. It's not that other people do it. It's whoever is full of my spirit does it. Man, I'm getting all this. Okay. You stepped out once before and you got hurt. That's all that happened. You were in the flesh and you did it in your strength. And the Lord says, no, be filled with my love and do it out of my spirit and the healing of flow. Come on, is the Lord reading the room or what? Amen. Is this helpful? Because there are some of you that have said, well, I feel like I want to do this. And you stepped out to do that in the Lord, but you got tripped up because maybe pride, maybe presumption, maybe whatever. How many of you know pride and presumption and even fear, all that stuff gets in our way, right? Even our woundedness, we have an unclean filter. We hear something, we think it means this. It means something else, right? The Lord says, I remember this. This is a little teaching time. I remember this. The Lord told me one time, I used to get these words for people, and I went more and more and more and more and more. And finally, I was like, everybody I came up to, I thought I had something for them, you know? And finally, the Lord said, we're just going to shut this down for a little while. Because it became an ego thing. It became about me having a word. It wasn't about the need of the people. And the Lord shut it down for a little bit. And then he spoke. He said, remember when you used to love people? He said, you just go ahead and love people and I'll slip it in when I want to. Let's just balance you out. You getting this? Because it's not about you becoming something you're not. It's about you becoming what God has designed you to be. And he says, first you got to have the revelation of my love, and then I'll flow through you effortlessly. Effortlessly. You'll be standing there talking to somebody, and then thoughts and all this stuff comes in your mind, and you start saying, it's so much life-giving thing. And you're just like, whoa, what? And it's just like, it's the Lord, because he just wants somebody who knows the height, the depth, the width, the breadth, that comprehends what's incomprehensible and knows
Him and is in this fullness of the Holy Spirit. And your needs are met because Jesus is in your life. And the Holy Spirit goes, hey, you know, there's things that you can't even imagine how I'm going to do it. You can't even think up the stuff because I'm everywhere and you're just right here. Is that right? And you're right here and I'm going to bring somebody across your path. I was up in New York with Heather and I was out. We were visiting her aunt a long, long time ago. And I got up in the morning and I opened my Bible and there was a psalm and it had a certain phrase in it. And this thing jumped out at me and the Lord showed me this incredible thing and I had no idea why because it was just there. And these people came by the house and it was for them. And they're talking and they're truly seeking the Lord and they weren't going to come by the house. But they felt, well, we got to go over to so-and-so's house. And the Lord just led them. It was because He had given me a word to give to them. I didn't even know them. And I just knew, what's this for?
Praise God.
And they showed up. And it was a transformational moment. It was an assurance moment. It helped them know that the Lord says, I gave a word to this guy in the morning because I heard you prayed last night. And I directed your steps over here so you could be blessed today. And I'm causing you to know that I'm talking to you right out of here. And it's all going to work out for you. I'm directing your steps. It was amazing.
Wow.
And you don't know when the Lord's going to do that. You don't know when He's going to do it. It's because somebody's tapping into the fullness.
Yeah.
Somebody's saying, I don't know how He's going to do it, but I want to do it. I want to be a part of the solution. How many of you are tired of being part of the problem?
Yeah.
So the Lord, this is the whole point about the Holy Spirit coming into you. Is that no longer you're dragging yourself around and trying to pull, you know, just going through the complaining of life. But He says, I got dunamis and energeo. And I just shortened it all down. It basically means God's love and power at work in me. Should say, and through me. Go ahead and say, and through me. God's work, God's love and power at work in me and through me. God's love and power at work in me, through me. How many of you need Jesus, a connection with Jesus every day? Just walking. You know why that is? Because you're nothing but a stick unless you're connected to the vine. How many of you feel like a dead stick half the time? You're going, get back in fellowship. Get back in fellowship. You're the branch. Your fruitfulness flows out of a relationship and fellowship with the living God. There's some of you used to meet with some of you used to meet with the Lord every morning. He says, I miss you. This is getting personal. The Lord's saying, call upon me, be with me, walk with me. Let's cherish the Ephesian church in Revelation chapter 2, it says, you know how to do all this stuff, but this one thing I have, you've forgotten your first love.
Yes. Yeah.
Your first love, walking with Jesus. Your first love, moving in the fullness of who He is for you. We got another minute here. Let's just lift our heads to the Lord. Father God, I just pray, Holy Spirit, in the midst of this, there's so many exhortations that have just flowed, and I ask that there would be in your people, a cherishing of you. There wouldn't just be a message, this is a lifestyle. A cherishing of you. This is a receiving day. I'm receiving this, that there are people that the Lord wants to talk to you around you, but because you haven't talked to the Lord, He's not able to talk to them. And the Lord says, I want to talk to you so that I can express my love to those around you. And it's people that you're not particularly interested in. But the Lord is. You see, you were a problem child to Jesus. Did you know the first definition of love in 1 Corinthians 13 is love is patient? And kind? Did you know patience with people is a manifestation of the power of the Spirit in you? It's a manifestation of the power of the Spirit.
Joan, the Lord sends you all over the country as you do these forensics, and the Lord, you're receiving today, aren't you? And there's prophetic moments the Lord has already planned. He's already planned for people. Don't try to make it happen, but just be very available, and you're going to actually have words that'll draw. Some of them are believers that are discouraged, and He's going to give you what to say to them, and some it'll be sowing seeds to unbelievers, but that's going to start happening more and more. You've been wanting this, I think. Has this been something you're, has it happened already? Sometimes, okay, yeah. I feel it strong this morning that the Lord says, I've already got the assignments. I've already gone before you. And you know how to receive. So that's, you know, and you got it, guys, you just know to, it's not rocket science or heart surgery or rocket surgery or heart science. It's just submitting to the love of God and letting Him love people through you. It's not that hard. It's just getting your old ego out of the way. It's not that hard. It's just called the crucifixion and the resurrection. It's not that hard. It's just applying by the Holy Spirit what He's already applying to you, receiving the fullness of His forgiveness and the empowerment to know His love for you. Amen?
Amen.
So, this last scripture here I want to talk to you about, and 2 Timothy, and then we'll be done. 2 Timothy 1 through 7, it's chapter 2. It says, you then, my child, this, and when I was praying about this, I felt like the reason we're going here is that the Lord has more for you. And these are some strong biblical examples of how He wants you to know that there's more for you. Be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, and trust to faithful men who will be able to teach others. Listen to this. Share in the sufferings as a good soldier in Christ Jesus. You know, there's not quite a bond as there is with soldiers in the trenches together. No soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. There's the first one, the soldier. That's a picture. The Lord says, I want to make you a better soldier than you ever imagined. The next one, an athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. That's what everybody say, Jesus is my commanding officer. As a soldier, right? So He's the Lord of the host in the Bible. And as an athlete, He's your coach. Have you ever figured this out, that you're going and going and going and you're just tired of it, and the Lord says, a little bit more, you can do it. What a coach. But I don't want to do it. That's right, but you can do it. You can go a little bit further. People say God won't put on you more than you can bear. That's not true. That ain't true. He puts on me way more than I can bear, but with Him, I can bear it. Is that right? People just want to get out. But He says, an athlete, and then it says, it's the hardworking farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. And so here's what I put up here. Jesus is saying that you can be more. How many have heard the army? Come and be all that you can be. Right? You can be more than what you thought you could be. You can go farther than you thought you could go. And you can do more than you thought you could do. Praise you, Jesus. I just want to... There was a part back in there. I have two things to say. First of all, usually I have a feeling for the people who are here that know the Lord, and I don't know if everybody knows the Lord. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. I kind of said this before in a moment ago, but you know if you've met the Lord, because He's hard to forget. And it's a spiritual encounter. And you know the people who've known the Lord, they know. It's kind of fun to say this, but they grow and then they glow. Just like a pregnant woman who has seed inside of her, and you can tell that there's a glow because she's been impregnated, right? And the Holy Spirit comes in, there's a life in you, and it's noticeable. That when you know the Lord and you start growing in Him, people see it. There's a witness that He's in your life. Now, this is the application, and then we'll pray. Here's the point. How many of you have been praying for something else to change out there, and the Lord says, no, I want to change something in here? Is that right? Let's stand together. I want to lead us in a little prayer, and then we'll just release. If you want to come down for ministry, We're in a season of shifting. We're in a season of shifting. And so we're going to be talking about the work of the Holy Spirit in the next coming weeks. And the Lord has a desire to increase you in the Spirit. If you're good at it or not, the Lord's going to increase you in the Spirit. He brought that up today. Do you realize the message today? I got to go back and listen to it and find out what happened. Because the Holy Spirit interrupted so many times. Injected. There you go. It's His service, right? Let's lift our heads to the Lord. Fresh baptism. Fresh baptism. Fresh work of the Spirit. Fresh anointing. Come upon us. Come upon us. Say, Father God, forgive me.
Father God, forgive me.
For every place.
For every place.
Where I've said.
Where I've said.
Change them.
Change them.
And not me.
And not me.
Forgive me.
Forgive me.
For not allowing your work.
For not allowing your work.
On the inside of my life.
On the inside of my life.
I surrender my attitudes.
I surrender my attitudes.
Of resistance.
My resistance.
My pride.
My pride.
My fears.
My fears.
And I receive the power.
Of
the blood of Jesus.
The blood of Jesus.
To wash me clean.
Wash me clean.
From any resistant attitude.
Resistant attitude.
Right now.
Right now.
Let's praise the Lord and open to that. Thank you, Lord. Let the washing of your blood cleanse your body. Cleanse your body. Cleanse your body. Cleanse your body. Wash us, O Lord Jesus. Wash us, O Lord Jesus. And now I want to ask you to pray a courageous prayer. Lord, change me.
Lord, change me.
Empower me.
Power.
Give me more of your love.
Give me more of your love.
More of a revelation of your love.
More of a revelation of your love.
Let me encounter the depth of your love.
Let me encounter the depth of your
love. Let me know you, Lord. In a way I have never known you before.
Pour
forth your Spirit into my life.
I come to you as a hungry bird,
mouth wide open. Fill me, O God. Let's praise Him now. Let's praise Him. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. 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 The Lord knows exactly what you have need of, and we have prophetic prayer warriors up here. We're going to release you right now and invite you to come. If there's other further things, come for deliverance. Come for the healing. What God is speaking to you, don't let it go by the boards. Let's go ahead and come down forth. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.